Blog Talk
Good
Radio.
Good morning, Holy Spirit. We thank you for your love. Thank you for your patience. Thank you, thank you. Father God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your patience. We thank you for your breath today, God. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for just giving us a little song this morning. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you are God and you are Yahweh. You cause it to happen what happens, Father. Father God, we thank you for constantly reminding us, God, that you are, hallelujah, you are the one and only Yahweh, Father, that you are our healer, that you are our deliverer, Father. And we thank you for that today. And Lord, as we move forward, God, into the assignments, God, that you have given each one of us, Lord. Father God, as we bring them before you today, God, this morning, Lord, as we yield our members to you, Father God, we ask that you use us, Lord. Hallelujah, not only on this call, God, but throughout the day, Father. Father God, touch each and every one of your children, Father God, as we go into thick, dark places, God, as your light, Father. Father God, that we may shine on the black canvases of life, Lord. Father, we thank you today, God. As Father God, you use these members, Lord, for your glory, God. That Father God, you are continually, God, hallelujah, God, breathe your spirit into us, God, that even though, God, we walk through the valley of the shadows of death, God, that we will fear no evil, knowing that you're with us, Father. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you, Father God, are the very breath that we breathe, Lord, and keep us reminded of that, God. Father God, and we thank you this morning, God, as we boldly come before your throne of grace and mercy, God. We thank you, Lord, for being our comforter, for being our guide, Lord. Hallelujah, for leading and guiding us, God, every step of the way. So, Father God, we pray for this call this morning, God, as you take it, hallelujah, around the globe, God, touching every heart, God, that's hurting, that's burdened, that's, hallelujah, been rejected, oppressed, depressed, God. Father God, we bind up the spirit of sickness, illness, and disease. We speak to it right now. We speak to the spirit of cancer. We speak to the spirit of arthritis, leukemia, Father God, any and every type of blood disease, we command you to draw up, wither up, and die in the name of Jesus. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you are our healer, God, and we just bless your name today, God. We thank you for the soul that's on this line, God. Hallelujah, God.
Herbert Vanderbilt Jr.
And, Father God, even as you take this call around the globe, God, those that's listening, God, that your healing anointing, God, will come forth, God, through the very airways, Lord. Father God, we bind up every spirit of distraction, Father God, as your man of God come forth with the word this morning, God. We command it to cease in the name of Jesus. And, Father God, we give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen, and amen.
Good morning, men and women of God. Another week that the Lord has taken us through. We are just, man, we are all the way in. We are preparing for our Thanksgiving outreach here in Lafayette. We know that a lot of times we have callers from several different places in the country, and we just want y'all to know we are getting set for our Thanksgiving outreach, a day of Thanksgiving. That along with the normal planning, with the normal Bible studies, with the normal ministry, with the normal schooling, with the normal work, has really, really, really been just such a blessing throughout this week. It's been very, very encouraging. We've had so many testimonies. We've had so many people just breaking free from bondage, from the predispositions of the past, getting an understanding of the Word of God. It's so encouraging. It is so encouraging for us. This morning, we promised, just as we promised on last week, we're going to go back into the teaching of Matthew 13 and Mark 4, where we talk about the process in which the operation of God takes place in the individual's life, and the challenges, or so to speak, the test and the trial that we go through throughout the week, throughout the our Christian walk, where are they coming from? What should be our focus? What should be our mindset? How is it that we can overcome in these areas in our life? How do we keep from always focusing in on the devil and what the devil is doing? And, you know, this one has a demon and that one has a demon and things of that nature. On last week, we talked quite extensively about the process in which the sower sows the word, and what type of effect the purpose of the sower sowing the word has. What kind of effect does it have? What does it do? What is God's commandment concerning that? You know, everything, every principle that every word really that God has spoken is a law principle, you know, and so we have to make sure that those promises that God has given us, we the fact that these are laws in the kingdom. These are laws in the kingdom. These are not things that just happened as a result of you know, of God seeing us come to a place that we've accomplished whatever the request is, whatever the requirement is, and now he sees us come to this place and we finally got there, and he said, okay, well, they tried hard, they put forth their best effort, so go ahead and bless them. No, that's not how that works. It works because God has laws already in place, and when you get to a certain juncture, when your faith reaches a certain level, just like you jump off a building and gravity goes immediately into effect, those laws go immediately into effect. And so this morning, to go back into where we were on last week, give me one second here. Let me check something out. Okay. I wanted to make sure that I picked up exactly where I left off. And we stopped with verse, we're in Matthew 13, for those who were not on the call on last week. We stopped at verse 21, but I want to pick up at 19. I want to pick up at verse 19, Matthew 13:19. It says that let me give a little foundation here. Okay, we're talking about the word. We're talking about the word being sown, and basically the word being sown means this. The word being sown means this. The word being sown is the word being given, the word being talked about, the word being expressed, the word being released with the potential of someone hearing it and it affecting them. It just has the potential for someone to hear it and be affected by it. It doesn't necessarily mean that they will hear it, and it doesn't necessarily mean that they'll be affected by it. But when the word is sown, it's sown in an atmosphere that the potential for it to be heard and to be received and to be acted on is there, because we know that God is purposeful, and God does not sow in an arena that does not have the ability to be fruitful. So every time the word of God is sown, it's sown in an atmosphere that has the potential for fruit to be produced. Now, this parable, this teaching, is to let us know why sometimes it's not produced, why the fruit from the word is not produced, because there are some difficulties that we have to overcome in order for the word to have the greatest effect. You know, there are people who say this. There are people who say, well, you know what? God is in complete control. You know what? God is in complete control. But God is in complete control with respect to the boundaries that he has given himself to operate in. One boundary is this. One boundary is, well, Jesus says it like this. Jesus says, with the measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you again. Which simply means, with the level of attention you give to something, with the level of deliberate and focused effort you give to something, you're going to get what that something is out of it to that same degree. So in other words, with the same level of passion that I approach the Word of God, it's going to be the same level of passion that I get what the Word of God says I will get. With the same level of passion, and you can take that and you can apply it to every area of your life. With the same level of passion, I approach school, I'm going to get whatever it is that degree is going to produce if I approach it with the level of passion that says, man, I'm going to do my very best, then you're going to get the same level of return from it. Sowing and reaping is a law. It is in every aspect of our life. It is not something that we do when we plant a seed in the ground. It's not something that we do when we give to a ministry. It's not something that we do when we give someone money. It's not something that we do when we feed the poor. It's not something that doesn't only happen in the obvious arenas. It happens in every area of our life. Sowing and reaping is a law that we live by. It's a spiritual law. It's a spiritual principle that governs the whole creation. The whole creation, okay? So with the level of sowing that I put into something is the level of reaping that I'm going to get out of it. Galatians says it like this: whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So if I give my attention to the Word of God, if I give my full focus to the Word of God, everything that the Word of God has in it,
let me tell you, it's already 7:15. So it don't matter. The bus ain't gonna pull up.
The bus is coming.
It ain't gonna leave at 7:15.
Hello. It seems as though I'm gonna have to ask our audience to press *6. Press *6 on your phone. So therefore, all that you're doing, we don't hear it on the call. Remember, we are recording the call, and we record it so therefore other people can go back and listen to it. And if you're busy, or if you're cooking breakfast, or if you have other things that you're doing while you're listening to the call, just press *6. That will mute your side of the call. You will still be able to hear us, and we won't get the disruption, or we won't get the interference, or we won't get none of the noise that's associated with you moving around, or you know, or talking to the kids or whatever it is. So please, if you don't mind, *6, and then when we ask for questions or comments, you can *6 again. And that will unmute it, and you can ask a question, or you can make a comment, and so on and so forth. Okay, now, as I was saying, so sowing and reaping is a law. And so the sowing and reaping is an operation, it's a law, it's a spiritual principle that God has put in his creation to govern the creation, to give us the potential to reap from the creation everything that he has put here for us to benefit from. It's also the opposite. Whether it's what he's put here for us to benefit from, or whether it's here to cause our demise, whichever area that we sow into, we're going to reap from. Bible says, if you sow to the flesh, you shall reap from the flesh corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you shall reap from the Spirit eternal life. So we know that there is a contrast. There is a place that we can sow in either situation that can we can benefit from, or it can cause us some problems. Okay, now, having understood that sowing and reaping is a law, having understood that that's an operation of God, having understood that this parable is basically, its basic foundation is built on sowing and reaping. So now, we can see through the explanation that I'm about to give concerning these very passages of scriptures that the level of effort, the level of importance, the level of priority we give to the Word of God is going to determine what we get out of it. Now, going back to verse 19, we're in Matthew verse 19. It says, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Now watch this. Receive seed by the wayside. Receive seed by the wayside. I don't want to put place too much emphasis on the receive because we're not looking at it in the Greek. And in the Greek, it may say something different. It may not mean the same type of receiving that we receive. Matter of fact, let me look at it real quick while I'm even talking about it. Let me look at that real quick. I want to make sure that I represent the word in its fullest. And let's see here. That is Matthew 13. Okay. All right. That is verse 19. I'm going to look here, and it says, okay. Okay, see that? Now the English, now, see that? That's what I'm saying. Now, the English says receive. See that? That's why it's so important to look into the Greek, to look at the original language. It says in 19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, the wicked one comes and catches away that which is sown in his heart. Now, the Greek says this. The Greek says it like this. The Greek says, catches away that was sown in his heart. This is he who, by the way, now, watch this. The wicked one catches away that which was sown in his heart. He who by the way was sown, and he who upon the rocky places, no, that's verse 20. Okay, now, what it is saying is this. Okay, when he says it's sown in his heart, what he is really saying is this. It's in words are spiritual capsules, okay? The words that we speak are spirit. They are spirit and they are life, or they are spirit and they are death. It's obvious. It's obvious. The power of life and death is in your tongue, okay? It doesn't mean, we talked about this before, it doesn't mean why you swirl your tongue around in your mouth. No, what it means is, When you vocalize, when you speak words, those words have the ability to bring life, or they have words to bring death. They have the ability to bring death. So when someone is preaching the word, when someone is speaking the word of the kingdom, that word has the potential to land in your heart. So because we are spirit beings, it comes to our heart. Now, what it does when it gets in our heart is determined by, once again, the amount of focus that we give to it, the amount of importance that we give to it, the amount of attention we give to the fact that it's being sown, okay? And so because we give it the importance that it needs to have, because we give it the focus and the attention that it needs to have, because it is our very life depends upon it, that is, we will hold on to that word. But if we're not giving it the attention, if we're not giving it the importance, we don't seek to understand it. And when we don't seek to understand it, it cannot stay. It cannot reside. Jesus says it like this in John 15. It cannot abide, okay? The words that abide are the ones that affect your behavior. The words that abide are the ones that produce fruit in your life. The words that abide are the ones that you have the potential to reproduce, okay? So if we're not giving the Word of God the full attention, if we're not giving it the deliberate and full importance in our life, when that word is sown, it doesn't have the importance. And so, therefore, what the wicked one does is come and utilize something that has been sown, like a stronghold, like a way of thinking, making something else important. Watch this. Let's use the example of Matthew 16. We talked about this previously. Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus practically high-fives him and says, bam, you know, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Two or three verses down, Jesus goes to explain to them what his purpose is in the earth, the Bible says Peter rebukes him. Okay? So now, watch this. Jesus is sowing the word of the kingdom, but Peter is not receiving it. As a matter of fact, Peter is rejecting it with more words. That's what a rebuke is. A rebuke is, I don't agree with that, that's wrong, and so I need to let you know why it's wrong. I need to let you know what I think. I need to let you know what's right, okay? Now, where did that come from? That came from, let's just evaluate a little further what Jesus tells him. Jesus says, "For thou savorest the things of man and not the things of God." So that lets us know that the source of that predisposition, the source of that those words, the source of that kind of thinking is human. It's of this earth. It comes from what Peter has been taught. It comes from what Peter is believing. And so as a result, what Peter is believing does not agree with what God wants him to believe. Okay? So Jesus automatically recognizes the source and rebukes Satan, who is the what? The source of what Peter is bringing to him. So in this example, when the Bible says the wicked one comes and catches away that which is sown in his heart, that's a perfect example of that. See, that exchange right there is a perfect example of how the wicked one comes and catches that which was sown in the person's heart who the Word of God is being preached to, talked about, or what God is trying to say to that individual. Now, I hope that's clear, okay? Now, another way that the wicked one can come and steal that which is sown in his heart, the wicked one can cause you to think that something else is important, like your phone, like the text you just received, like the video you're watching, like the Facebook page, like the cutie little three-month-old baby, like the four-year-old. All those things, guess what? Satan can use to come and take away that what is trying to be sown in your heart. And if you don't give the Word of God or what God is saying to you the level of importance that it needs to have, guess what? He's stealing. And remember, let's not forget, His primary purpose is to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. So that's right within the boundaries of where he can legally operate. Understand this. Satan can legally operate as a person who steals, as a spirit who steals, as a spirit who kills, and as a spirit who destroys. That's his legal realm. He has the legal right to operate in that realm. Okay? So now watch this. Let's go on a little bit further. But he that receiveth seed into starting place, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Now this is different. Because this person actually received the word. This person actually didn't have anything to say. They, man, they praise God. Man, that was a good word. But watch this. Watch this. Abiding, when Jesus said in Matthew 15 and 4, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, that means that is present perfect active. That means abide now, abide now, abide now, abide now, and so on and so on. Every moment that's present, that word has to abide, okay? And so when he says he received this, it's abiding, okay? But watch this. He hasn't believed it yet. He doesn't have full assurance concerning it. That's what the next verse says. Yet he had no root in himself, which really means he doesn't believe it so wholeheartedly that now he starts filtering his decisions through it. That now he starts renewing his thinking concerning it. That now he allows it to tear down the strongholds of what he used to believe. See, or what he was believing at the time that he heard the word. He doesn't allow it to change him yet. That's what no root means. But do it for a while. So he thinks about it. He thinks about it. But watch this. But when tribulation or persecution arises, why does it come? It comes because of the word. By and by, he's offended. By and by, he's offended. Now, what the Greek says, but have risen tribulation or persecution on account of the word. Immediately, he is offended. In other words, guess what? Immediately, he reverts back to what he was thinking before, what he was believing before, what he was trusting before. So his mind, although he came to the crossroad in his thoughts, he came to the crossroad in his behavior, he came to the crossroad in his emotion, you know what? Because it was so intense, and he had not decided to believe the word of God wholeheartedly, he reverted back to what he was thinking before. He reverted back to what he was, the way he was behaving before. He reverted back to feeling the way he felt before. Okay? So hold on. Okay. Now, verse 22. He also that receives seed among thorns is he that heareth the word. Okay, now watch this. We had what? We had hear the word on the wayside. We had received word on stony places. And now we have received words what? Among thorns. Now, he that also, verse 22, Matthew 13, verse 22, he also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, okay, he heard it, and the cares of the world. Now, heareth the word is receiveth the word. And I know when I look at the Greek, that's what it's going to say. Same word. Let's see here. Heareth the word. Yeah, that's right. He hears with the intent of doing. He hears with the intent of doing. Let's look at the two of them. Okay, one is akouo, and the other one, that's to hear, and that means to hear, to listen, to comprehend by hearing, to pass is heard and is you know, and to attend to consider what is or has been said, understand, to perceive the sense of what it said. In other words, you understood. Now you in the stony ground, you understood. Okay? But in the thorny ground, you received it, you took it, you laid hold of it, it stuck. Okay? To take upon oneself, to take in order to carry away, to take with the hand or lay hold of any person or thing in order to use it, to get in order to use it. So that's the Shema. It's not the Greek, it's not the Hebrew word Shema, but it is definitely the Shema, and that is lambano, lambano. The word lambano is to take in order to use it. The word kuo means to hear and understand. See, two different phases: to hear, understand with the ability to use. Okay, that's different. Two entirely different things. Example: I hear what you're saying, I understand what you're saying, but when it comes time for me to use it, I use what I've been using. Lambano is different. Lambano has a decision that says, whatever I hear, I'm doing it anyway. That's the person who receives it on stony ground, okay? The person who receives it on among thorns. So in other words, the word has been received with the ability and with the intention of doing it. And we can see, by the way, that this verse carries out, the person actually does it. See, but he that receiveth seed on good ground, but he that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh. In other words, he was at one point fruitful because when he heard it with the intent of doing it. So he started doing it, but he got distracted. Okay? He started doing it, but he started looking at, oh, man, they partying over here. Oh, man, this one is going here. This one is doing that. This one just bought a new car. This one just bought a new house. Man, look at that outfit she got on. Man, do you see that purse? Do you see the outfit he got on? Look at them shoes. Man, wow, look at that watch. Look at the gold diamond ring he got on. The cares of the world. And you know what? Man, we can go make this little quick lick. You know, we can buy this and flip it. You know what? We can guess what? We can go and play the lottery. We can go right down the street to Evangeline Downs. The deceitfulness of riches. You know what? Man, we can get this deal. And matter of fact, I'll give you this deal. And with the deal comes $250,000. Okay? I just need for you to do this. Cares of the world and deceitfulness of riches. Because it's not wrong to have the money. It's wrong for the money to stop you from producing the fruit from the word of the kingdom. See, it's not wrong to have money. It's wrong to have money and let the money keep you from being fruitful in the kingdom. So this person was actually producing fruit. Okay? This person was actually producing fruit, and as a result of them producing fruit, all these things came to them. And when the things came to them, because they had not, their mind was not 150% totally made up, guess what? It was a temptation because they wanted it. They had not decided to what? To let it go. And so, guess, they went for it. Because, trust me, you're never tempted by something you don't want. So this person who who the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches caused them to become unfruitful, it's because the cares of the world is something they wanted. It's because the deceitfulness of riches was something that they wanted. And they did not decide to abandon that for the kingdom of God. They did not decide to abandon that for the body of Christ, for the work of Christ. And so therefore, guess what? The temptation, they failed it. Verse 23. But he that receiveth seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some a hundredfold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. So now this person here, guess what? He don't qualify for none of the other experiences. But notice the wording. Notice the wording in here. The wording in here says, guess what? But he what? He heareth the word like the guy who received it on stony ground. He heard the word. Okay? He understood the word and bare forth fruit like the guy on stony ground. But guess what? He held on to it. He let it abide in him. And therefore, the word brought forth fruit. And it produced what? 60-fold, 100-fold, 30-fold. Now, those degrees of producing comes from the levels of, I don't want to say the level of belief, but the level of intensity you give to the word, the level of focus, the level of deliberate action you give to the word. We can validate by several other comments that Christ made, one of which I spoke about earlier, when he said, with the measure you meet, it shall be given unto you again. Okay? We can also qualify that by saying, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So if I sow, if my ability to let that word be sown in me 100%, and I have no tolerance for nothing else, all I want is the word, then that word is going to produce 100-fold fruit. But if I'm second guessing, I'm walking down the path, but I'm not running down the path, the word is going to produce, but it's going to produce 30 or 60-fold to the degree of what intensity that you place on your belief in that word. Because God is not unfaithful. God is not unjust. God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. Okay? So now, we get to this place, and let's go to Mark 4. Mark 4 has a little different spin on it. And I want to, we're not going to go into the reading of the parable, we're going to the explanation of the parable. The explanation of the parable, Mark 4 and verse 11. And he said unto them, unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to them that are without. All these things are done in parables. Them that are without. Remember on last week we said to him, we can look at that verse in Matthew, go back to Matthew and look at verse 12. He says, but whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more in abundance. But whosoever hath not, see that? Whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. We explained that on last week that said, and said, your ability to believe is what you have. All of us have. Okay? All of us have the ability to believe. That's how we live our life. Okay? That's what we have. But God has given us the ability to believe the word. Okay? As well as all the other things we believe. Now, because the kingdom of God has those who have been predestined before the foundation of the world, there are a group of us that it has the ability to believe. That's what Jesus is talking about in Mark 4 when he talks about in verse 11. He says, unto you that's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. You are the one that has. But to them that are without, they have not. Even the things that they have shall be taken away from them. What is it that's going to be taken away from them? The ability to believe the gospel. That's what West was being turned over to a reprobate mind in. You no longer have the ability to believe. We talked about that on last week. Okay? That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins, what should be forgiven them. We know that the only time your sins is forgiven you is when you receive the word of God. See? So they can't believe, so they can't receive the word of God. I've heard so many people talk about the unforgivable sin. They say, well, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is unforgivable sin. Really, it takes so much understanding to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. It's next to impossible. But the real unforgivable sin is unbelief, because you don't believe to be forgiven. That's the unforgivable sin. That's hands down the unforgivable sin. The unforgivable sin is unbelief, because you don't believe, so you can't be forgiven. All these things are done in parables. See that in verse 12 now. That seeing that they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins shall be forgiven them. Now verse 13. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And he goes on to explain, okay? And we're going to pick up at verse, let's see. Yes, okay, now. Let's pick up at the end of the parable here. Mark 4, verse 21. See? Verse 21 goes on to explain the principle of the parable. Okay? And you will see what I've been explaining to you. It'll become much clearer after we read this part. He said unto them, is a candle bought to be put under a bushel, or under the bed, and not to be set on the candlestick? In other words, watch this. You understand because God wants to make you a light, and that light cannot be hid. He don't want to put it in somewhere where it's hidden. And he lets us know, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should what? Come abroad. Now watch this. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed. See that? What you hear, with what measure you meet, it shall what? Be measured unto you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. See that? So when I said with the level of intensity that you believe, it shall be measured unto you. That's the 30-fold, the 60-fold, and the 100-fold. He said, what measure you what? He said, what measure you? He said, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. In other words, with the level of intensity you give to what you're hearing is the return you're going to get from it, and unto you that hear shall more be given. So when you give the intensity to it, guess what? It's going to produce a return for you, and you shall be given more because you're not taking it for granted. See? You're not taking it for granted. You're making it important. And because you're making it important, you're valuing it. And because you're valuing it, he knows that he can trust you with his word. For he that hath, to him shall be given. And what? There we go again. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Okay?
Okay? So now understand this. This is how the entire process of the kingdom of God is seen in operation. We are word carriers. The words that we keep, the words that we keep, the words that we allow to abide in us are the words that we understand and we become to believe. The words that we become to believe establishes strongholds in our mind. And once those strongholds are established in our mind, they are producing fruit in our life. They are producing fruit in our life. So what are the words that we're allowing to produce fruit in our life? What are the words are we allowing to produce in our to abide in our minds and to allow to produce fruit in our minds? What are those words? What are those words? Those words are going to determine what's going to be effective in your life. Be seen through your behavior. What is going to be seen with respect to fruit in your life. So when we think about that, when we really think about that, when we really, really think about that, what are we allowing to affect our life? What words are we receiving? What words are we receiving, okay, that's going to affect our life? Any questions or comments? Any questions or comments?
Don't everybody talk at the same time.
Don't forget star six to unmute your phone.
Well, I have a comment on the teaching. But that's powerful. And every time you teach, you know, you can actually be in a level of revelation from, you know, it is time for me to no longer just allow to see.
I'm not sure why we can't hear you, but you're real faint.
The volume.
Oh, I can hear you, but you know, I can hear you from being in here.
Okay. Well, hopefully everybody is in here because I have my volume up on my phone. But I'm making a statement that the seed of the word has got to begin to take root in our life. And if our minds are really made up to serve God, we've been to church, we've done all those things, you know. We went through the emotional things, we did the dance, we fell out on the floor, we spit in the bag, we did all those things, we still got up, we went home, and we fought devils all night. When the adversity came, we did everything but grab that word, you know. I stood up in our spiritual authority, you know, and this is where the mind of the body of Christ have got to be now. You know, when adversity rises, that we don't panic, we don't freak out, we don't go back to doing the old things that we used to do, lying and cheating and stealing, you know. But there has to be a level of integrity that we walk in, you know, that will say, okay, God, you know, either you God or you a liar. You know, and that's where our minds have got to come. And I'm going to stand on your word You know, if you move, you move. You give the increase. And just stop reverting. We have to stop reverting back to those old places. And we're seeing a lot of that in the group that we're ministering to. Well, they're coming up. Young babes in Christ, they're like, okay, all right, if Jesus is a game changer, he don't have to change it for me. Because, you know, this young group of kids, they like, you know, they different from when we came up, you know. So allow God to prove himself by standing on that word and believing his word. And when the seed is sown, that it falls on good ground and it produces the fruit that need to come forth from our lives. And that's what I wanted to say about the teaching this morning, honey.
Amen. Praise the Lord this morning. Everyone, I was trying to get off mute. Amen. Just want to say, awesome word this morning, man of God, I tell you. You know, just to piggyback off prophets this morning, you know, we're in a time where the church's use has gotten used to the motions of the falling out of you know, just being physical. You understand what I'm saying? You know, but we need more people like you. And, you know, and I just say to God be the glory, you know, and of myself that will come forth and bring forth a revelation such as this right here, to bring the people back to the place where God has tended us to be. You know, I'm doing this series on the.
Go ahead, bro.
Okay, I'm doing a series on the mind of Christ. And what's happening is that the church, and I'm not talking about a physical edifice. I'm talking about us. The church does not possess the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is nothing but the word. Let this word be in you as it was in Christ Jesus. There are so limited teaching on this stuff right here. So what's happening is individuals, you know, we're running to wall, we're falling out, and when we go home, there's no foundation of the word, you know, because we're always in warfare. You understand what I'm saying? And how to overcome warfare is through the word of God. The point that I'm making is that we have to bring more and more teaching of this magnitude to the body of Christ to develop a mindset of the word, or to bring it to a level of the word. In other words, teaching the body of Christ how to make application concerned with how to put the word on the situation. Because what's happening is, you know, I feel like, well, I can just sow a seed of $50 and everything. No, we have to get in a place where we are executing the word of God. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, we have to teach how to maneuver the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, I thank God so much for this type of teaching, because it is much needed. If we're going to make it today, if we're going to make it in this world today, it's going to be by the word of God. I tell my people all the time, you have to be very careful how you perceive your own self. What did the word say about you? How does the word of God feels about you? You understand what I'm saying? And whatever the word says, that's what you act on. You understand what I'm saying? It's so much more about this, but I just want to say I thank God for you, Bishop. I thank God so much for this fivefold ministry call. I thank God truly he has ordained this for this time, you know, and I'm telling you, you know, it is being effective. We are getting to that place, you know what I'm saying, just like from kindergarten on up, you know what I'm saying, it has to be taught, it has to be brand into our spirit, you know. But I just thank God so much, amen, for you, man of God. God bless you all.
Amen, amen.
Any questions or comments? Thank you, man of God. That is such a refreshing. That is so encouraging. I thank God for all that He's doing in us, and thank you.
I would just like to pray for everyone this morning. So if y'all will close your eyes and trust in the Lord, that He's going to continue to bless you. I will say that, Heavenly Father, as we come at this hour, this beautiful day that Thou hast provided us with, Father, thank you. Thank you, because we are undeserving, but you love us so much. I thank you for all the rams that you have in the bushes, Father God, all those that Thou hast sent out to your children so that they can know. They are without excuse, Father God. They need to come running to see what must they do to be saved. I thank you for Pastor Charles and Janet Jackson. I thank you that you have allowed them to cross my path. I thank you because they are a pillar of strength to the community and to everyone that they touches. So, Father, I ask that Thou will keep a hedge around them, not only them two, but her sister also, Father God, as they go forth, spreading the gospel, the good news about what we have. Father, we're going to be cautious to give you praise, honor, and glory that's rightly thine. And in doing so, Father, as we also say thank you for all those blessings, we do it in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Now, I hope everyone have a wonderful day.
Any more questions or comments? And thank you, Sister Liz. We certainly appreciate the word of prayer, Mama.
You're more than welcome. I woke up with you on my mind. I just woke up. I just returned from New Orleans. I had beat it over there. My older sister was put in ICU. So y'all pray for her.
Okay.
I know God got
right.
her. So there's
okay.
no fear here.
All right. Amen.
Thank you.
All right, I will close this out in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord God. I thank you for all the participants, Lord God, on the conference call, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, that you will cover us. I command the atmosphere, Lord God, over us, over those who are connected with us, Lord God, to produce your will. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for giving us the authority to release you into the atmosphere. I release you into every situation, circumstance, every trap, snare, every plan of the enemy, Lord God. One man's plan is on another man, water it, but it's you who caused the increase. Father, I speak, Lord God, that every word that has been spoken, Lord God, in adversity, every plan that has been set up, Lord God, as a trap or a snare, Lord God, every person, Father, that the enemy has planned to use, Lord God, to try and bring distraction, to bring destruction, to bring contention, Lord God,
I speak it to naught.
I speak it fruitless in the name of Jesus. I thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ giving us not only the authority, Lord God, but giving us, Lord God, the very right for the atmosphere of heaven. We speak the atmosphere of heaven in every situation, every circumstance, Lord God. We thank you, we praise you, we magnify you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for the connections, the divine connections you have brought into our life, Lord God. We thank you for the man of God, Lord God, who has so graciously allowed us to participate, Lord God, in his ministry, Lord God.
Yes.
Bless him, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. We speak to the seeds that are sown, Lord God, and we say that because we have the blessing and the cursing in our mouth.
Amen.
We speak life to those seeds. We say that they produce a hundredfold in every person's life, Lord God, who has connected
Hallelujah.
To what you're doing through us and through all those who are connected to us, Father. Father, do your work, Lord God. We give you not only the permission, Lord God, but we cry out as a body cries out for the nutrition, Lord God. We need you to show up in our lives. We thank you for the provisions. We thank you. We thank you for the healing, Lord God. We thank you for the finances, Lord God. We thank you for everything that is needed to carry out, Lord God, that which you put in our heart. In the name of Jesus, we bless this weekend. This is going to be the greatest weekend that we've experienced in God, and we thank
Amen.
You.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Y'all have a blessed weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Amen. Bye-bye.